Ukraine's military is pushing ahead with a fast-moving counteroffensive against Russian occupiers and has retaken territory in both the country's northeast and south. The move has taken Russian troops by surprise and provoked outrage in Moscow among supporters of the war. Nick Schifrin has our report from Kharkiv.
First, they rip through Russian lines, then the Russian flag. Another day, another Ukrainian town liberated. The videos are filmed by Ukrainian soldiers who wipe their shoes on the enemy's flag before raising their own after 7 months of Russian occupation. The Russian rout happened so quickly, their troops left behind dozens, if not hundreds, of armored vehicles and entire stockpiles of weapons and munitions. On Russian TV, Russia's appointed Kharkiv administrator admitted today his forces were badly outnumbered.
In order to preserve our personnel, I think command decided to retreat and regroup. The situation is becoming more difficult by the day.
That admission sparked rare doubt on state TV. Boris Nadezhdin is a regular pundit.
It's absolutely impossible to defeat Ukraine using these resources and colonial war methods with which Russia is trying to wage war without mobilization.
Ukraine's gains began in cities that Russian troops used as logistics hubs and command posts, and then spread to much of the Kharkiv region. In response, Russia launched its largest recent strikes on Ukraine's critical infrastructure, including this power station outside Kharkiv. It caused water shortages and a blackout in a region 250 miles across.
And Russia has now struck civilian targets inside of Kharkiv city. This was a law enforcement building. Firefighters have been trying to fight the fire for the last couple hours, but because Russia has now hit critical infrastructure in Ukraine, they're short of water, so they're struggling to overcome the fire.
14 fire brigades battled a fire that killed one person inside. It spread rapidly through a building that firefighters said was full of wood. The Russian rockets hit near the middle of the city in the middle of the day.
For the second day in a row, they are destroying the city. I think it shows their weakness because these people can't do anything else other than cause the defenseless pain.
Vladimir Tymoshko is the Kharkiv regional police chief. He called today's attack, with a multiple launch rocket system, indiscriminate terrorism.
Because of this, quote, second greatest army of the world can only destroy the civilian population, it shows their lack of capabilities and that they're savages, they're barbarians, and the whole world sees that.
In total, Russia struck the city and its outskirts at least a half dozen times. This one landed across the street from 78-year-old Lydia Vasilnevna's home. She has a message for Putin.
I've lived a long life, but I never thought this bastard would come to our native land. Why are they destroying children and people? He's a bastard.
Ukraine tries to harness that anger and its recent success to increase Western support. One of the officials asking for that support is Ihor Zhovkva, President Zelensky's deputy chief of staff in charge of foreign relations. I spoke to him this weekend at the Yalta European Strategy Conference.
Welcome to the NewsHour. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Are you worried about what one U.S. official told me, Ukraine fatigue, the West losing patience, losing the ability to continue to support Ukraine for the long term?
Well, really, if you ask me personally, I'm not. We are fighting, we are struggling, we are making success. Maybe Russia wants the world to have Ukraine's fatigue. But again, what we hear from our partners, this is far away the case.
As the saying goes, winter is coming, and there's a lot of talk here about making progress before the winter. Are you worried about when winter arrives and natural gas prices in Western Europe go up, Europeans are paying more for their gas, that will erode support for Ukraine?
If in Western countries people suffer from a little bit higher prices, here in Ukraine, people dying. So if we all together will have to tighten our belts throughout these 90 days of winter, in spring, we will come out much more stronger, much more safer, much more united, hopefully, and much more near to Ukraine's victory.
How important is it, do you think, that the counteroffensive succeed or have a level of success in the next few weeks or months before the winter time starts in order for that political support for Ukraine to continue?
Definitely, time matters for us. It's in the interest of Russia to prolong the war, to drag on with the war. Yes, probably they were counting on the winter time that's much easier to defend, to fortify its positions, and much difficult to make an offensive. And again, it will be Ukrainian decision when to start, where to start, how to start, because once and again, our general aim to liberate our territories.
President Biden recently said that he opposed labeling Russia a state sponsor of terror. What's your response to that?
Well, I don't think this is a final full stop in this issue. This is the bullet which will definitely make, you know, the final end of this aggression. Besides the instrumental thing, which it entails, you know, cutting all the trade, or making more severe control in the financial system, it has a very important moral meaning. It has a very important signal. Russia is good at reading signals.
The U.S. continues to deny Ukraine's request to send longer-range munitions for the HIMARS system, for the multiple launch rocket system that Ukraine is asking for. What's your response to that continuing resistance to send some of the longer-range weapons that you're asking for?
I think everyone in the U.S. and in other countries see that Ukrainians know how to fight. They know how to fight with a modern weapon. That was the concern in the beginning. Probably Ukrainians will not be able to use this. We're using them. Sometimes better than some other armies in the world. And we will, you know, continue to do this, and we will continue to say we do not want any other territory, but we have all the rights to take back each and every inch, each and every piece of Ukrainian territory.
Does that
be
include
Kherson,
Crimea?
Be it Donbass, and yes, be it Crimea.
Has Ukraine used American weapons to attack Crimea?
I don't know, I'm not a general, but we see that something not good for Russia is happening in the Crimea, which really satisfies us. We need more and more heavy weaponry. Yes, we need air defense systems. Yes, we need ammunition. Yes, we need armored vehicles and tanks. We are fighting, but in order to win, finally win, we need more and more weapons.
Ukraine's government needs at least $5 billion a month just to make up for budget shortfalls. Are you getting enough economic support from the West separate from all that military support?
Not enough. Right you are. We need up to $5-6 billion per month just in order to have our payment system, social payments, salaries to the soldiers who are fighting on the forefront. It's very important for the world now to help us financially and economically and, you know, helping us to win. If we will not stop the aggression here in Ukraine, it will spread, definitely.
Do you think the world needs to be prepared to support Ukraine's government with $5 billion a month indefinitely?
Yeah.
Do you think the West will really step up and do that?
Well, if not the West, then who? I mean, we have to be united. And it's in everyone's interest for Ukraine to win and to be successful later on.
Igor Zhovka, thank you very much.
Thank you.